From the Radio Ranch in the heart of Liberty, Texas, it's the Bombastic Blogcast for Thursday, February 27th, 2025. I'm the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
Be there yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, the kid with the patriotic red, white, and blue eyes, and one heck of a nice guy. Let's get things officially launched here with
the Daily Datagram.
You got it. Words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. And today's datagram comes to us from the late, great Oliver Wendell Holmes Jr., who said, "It's a pleasure to give advice, humiliating to need it, and normal to ignore it." And why in the world would anyone pay for it?
What a dumb thing to do.
Let's move along now to the so-called educational part of this big blogcast.
Twisted History.
Let's do this.
Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
Oh, boy.
Some cool, some not so cool. Just the same, you need to know your Twisted History.
All right.
You might be quizzed.
Yeah. I don't think so. All right, kids, it was on this day in 1951, the 22nd Amendment to the United States Constitution, limiting presidents to two terms, was ratified. Looking back, it depends on which president you refer to as to whether or not this has been a good thing. Then again, there are those who say all elected positions should have term limits. What's the old saying? Politicians are like diapers. They should be changed regularly. And for the same reason.
Wow.
And it was on this day in 1964, the government of Italy asked for help to keep the Leaning Tower of Pisa from toppling over. And they must have gotten the help because it's still standing. And did you know that there are people who actually climb to the top of that thing?
I wouldn't do that if I were you.
Crime's not a problem until it shows up on your doorstep, you know, and it starts to get a little close to your own neighborhood or a little close to the area where you live, then you kind of sit up and take notice. And then you start asking the usual questions, you know, like, is anybody looking into this? Well, Immigration and Customs Enforcement Special Agents and the Texas Department of Public Safety, that's our Highway Patrol. And the DPS in Texas also presides over the Texas Rangers. Arrested a three-time deported Salvadoran illegal alien on charges of repeated sexual abuse of a child. Now, the arrest happened during a targeted enforcement operation in a place called Colony Ridge, which is the largest migrant colony in Texas. Now, it's not real close to my place out here in Liberty County, Texas. I'm about 40 miles east of Houston. But let me put it this way. This subdivision, which is a very seedy place, and it was developed by some unscrupulous developers, it's really a center of squalor. But it's close enough to where, you know, hey, is anybody looking into this? So, according to the report, U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, that's ICE, conducts routine daily enforcement alongside our federal, state, and local law enforcement partners throughout the Houston community to bolster public safety, national security, and border security. All right, so that's the official word from ICE. And Breitbart News, thank God for them. They have a bureau here in Texas devoted to Texas news, which we should, you know, because, gee whiz, Texas is the size of most European countries. I mean, you can fit France inside Texas, all right? Anyhow, they went on to say, as a result of those efforts, ICE and the Texas Department of Public Safety arrested Florentin Chavez Luna, a 39-year-old three-time previously deported criminal alien from El Salvador, February 24th in Plum Grove, Texas. Now, the 24th was on Monday. And they went on to say here that ICE officials said that they arrested Chavez Luna on warrants for repeated sexual abuse of a minor over an 8-year period. Now, as you look into this a little more, you see just how lax our immigration enforcement has been over the last 4 years. The alleged aggravated sexual abuse took place between November 2008 and November 2016. My God, that's almost ancient history. And according to Houston Crime Stoppers, which is a darn good organization, the victim made an outcry statement to police on March 1st of 2023 in Southwest Houston. So he got from Southwest Houston all the way over here to Liberty County. Now, court records obtained by Breitbart, Texas show that the Salvadoran illegal alien was convicted in July 2012 on a misdemeanor charge of resisting arrest. Harris County Court of Law judge at that time sentenced him to 30 days in county jail. Immigration officers filed a detainer, and he was removed from the country in September. Surprise, he's back! ICE officials told Breitbart that they also removed Chavez Luna in March of 2011 and September 2010. An immigration judge issued a final order of removal in August of 2010.
And they just keep coming back.
ICE and DPS officials also arrested another deported Salvadoran migrant on February 24th. Again, that was on Monday, on a murder charge. And this is in that same area. This place called Colony Ridge. And earlier on Monday, a Salvadoran migrant with suspected ties to the hyperviolent MS-13 gang reportedly got into an altercation on a county road in Colony Ridge. And Montgomery County Police Reporter's publisher, a fellow by the name of Scott Engel, told Breitbart that the altercation ended with the victim being stabbed to death in his truck, which was parked at his home. Police arrested the alleged MS-13 gang member late Monday night. All right, so Colony Ridge. Again, it's a place that's just steeped in squalor. It is, it's more than 30,000 acres. It's supposedly a housing development. And its actual location is about 40 miles northeast or east-northeast of Houston. The subdivision's been the subject of numerous media stories linking the neighborhood itself to a very significant population of migrants in illegal status, and for the developers, questionable land sales tactics targeting mostly Hispanic consumers. And these are Hispanic consumers who are here illegally. And just last week, a multi-agency task force arrested three previously deported illegal aliens after a traffic stop led to the seizure of 350 pounds of methamphetamine. Again, reported in Breitbart. Those people at Breitbart are amazing. They're just great. I mean, it's real journalism. If you don't check in with them, you should. It's spelled B-R-E-I-T-B-A-R-T, Breitbart.com. Now, during this traffic stop from last week, it was a stop of a white panel van, and the investigator identified the driver as Gerson Lopez Zuniga. They identified his passengers as Cruz Isidro Sandoval and Adan Aguirre Arzate, all residents of Liberty County. Residents, not citizens, but residents of Liberty County. Again, that's where this subdivision is located, Colony Ridge. And according to the sheriff's report, all three of the occupants were identified as being illegally present in the United States. Let's have a show of hands. Anybody surprised by that? And investigators found the driver, Zuniga, to be illegally in possession of a semi-automatic handgun. Again, according to the sheriff's office. And one of the passengers, Sandoval, reportedly told the task force about a larger quantity of methamphetamine located in a nearby camper trailer. So investigators obtained permission to search the trailer, found 12 iceberg lettuce boxes containing approximately 344 pounds of methamphetamine. So you see what they're dealing with over there? ICE officials said all three of the men that have been deported on at least four occasions, all three of them, and they just keep coming back. Well, maybe with this new administration, there'll be an end to that. Nowhere is the fight against far-left liberalism more pronounced than with the issue now with the governor of Maine. Donald Trump has been at odds with this gal ever since he retook the White House. I don't know how this is going to turn out, but the latest data from Maine's schools shows that test scores are plummeting as schools focus on the children of illegal migrants, illegal aliens who are welcomed by the state's employers and politicians. Maine is a very liberal state. You can throw them in there with the likes of a Minnesota or a California, New York State. Although things in New York are starting to turn around, apparently. But that's a topic for a future podcast. Anyhow, the latest numbers from the National Center for Education Statistics finds that Maine public school students are at their lowest test scores in 30 years in both reading and math. And the data finds that only 33% of kids in fourth grade are proficient in math and only 26% are fluent in reading. And these are also some of the worst scores in the nation. Remember, traditionally, you used to think of places like Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama as being the worst? Oh, no. And older children are even worse off. This is where it gets very scary. You got a mere 25% proficiency in math and 26% in reading. And the results placed Maine's students at 38th in the country. Now, Maine is spending about $15,000 per student for the 176,000 kids in its education system. And this is a cost that's more than $1,000 above the national average. And this is according to an outfit called Ballotpedia. You know, I always wonder why this is the case. You go to these blue states, they spend more money per student for public education, and yet the kids come out dumber. And meanwhile, Maine's also seen a tidal wave of migrants, mostly, not entirely, but mostly illegal. And the state, of course, is Democrat-controlled, and they continue to tout their sanctuary policies. According to the Federation for American Immigration Reform, an outfit called FAIR. Now, the number of children who can't speak English fluently has soared in the last decade, according to FAIR. For instance, 70% of students enrolling in Portland's schools, that's Portland, Maine, have limited English skills and require special classes to help bring them up to standards in English before they even learn any other subject. You see the problem here? And this forces schools to spend budget money hiring teachers and other employees who speak a wide variety of languages to try and communicate with these kids. And FAIR adds that Portland now counts as many as 57 languages being spoken in its classrooms. I mean, is this not nuts? And it's so bad in Portland that the schools are moving toward requiring all teachers to speak multiple languages, meaning you got a lot of teachers who are unqualified to teach in the city schools. Education budgets across the country are skyrocketing. And as this huge wave of Biden administration's migrant kids were diverted into American primary schools, the resultant problems are popping up. And it doesn't happen slowly. It happens almost overnight. It is a problem. Now, like in Maine, administrators nationwide are shifting budget dollars toward migrant kids who've flooded into public schools. There's really no choice. You have to. But I'll give you, for instance, in 2020, Pennsylvania reported 71,766 English language learner students, known as ELL students. By 2024, that number had blown up to 99,889 such students. That's a 40% rise. Now, data also seems to show that as American education systems retrench in this struggle to educate migrants, the kids are the losers, naturally. And results across the country pretty much echo what was reported by the California Assessment of Student Performance and Progress, which found that migrant kids aren't doing well. They're just not. Well, how can they? The agency reported that only 24% of migrant students meet state standards for English language arts, down from 24.2% the prior year. A mere 15.8% are in line with math skills, up from 14.8%, and it's just 11.7% for science, which is about flat from 2023. But you see, this is a problem. It's going to continue to fester nationwide thanks to the last 4 years where that... I'm having to restrain myself. Where the Biden administration opened our border. The Biden administration. The Obama 3.0 administration opened our border and flooded the country with these people. Now, here again, I'm going to defend these people in only one area, and that is the vast majority of them came here with good intentions. But from the first segment of this blogcast today, you're seeing what also comes in with them, right? These good people. And culturally, these people would be conducive eventually to becoming good citizens here in the United States. They have a Judeo-Christian background. Most of them are Catholic. And, you know, that's not a bad thing. We are, after all, a Judeo-Christian society. That's what built this amazing economy this country has. And thank God Donald Trump is devoted to that very thing. It'll come around. You're going to notice some changes. And it's going to take a little while, 18 months, 2 years, whatever. But whatever it takes, it's going to be worth it. And then if we can slide J.D. Vance in there right after Donald Trump, I'm sure the results would be very similar. Maybe not quite as good, but very similar. It's not going to be like what happened to us when Ronald Reagan left office and we ended up with George H.W. Bush. He wasn't real bad, but he wasn't great, and he was a far cry from a Ronald Reagan. But our future direction of this country depends really on how effective we are at deporting all these illegal aliens. Get them out of here and then invite them to come back legally. First term GOP representative Brandon Gill of my great state of Texas is calling on the Trump administration to send Representative Ilhan Omar of Minnesota back to her homeland of Somalia. Probably a good idea. He wrote Tuesday on the X platform, he says, America would be a better place if Ilhan of Minnesota were deported back to Somalia. And included in Gill's tweet was a video clip featuring Omar, where she appears to be coaching fellow Somalis living in the U.S., probably illegally, how to resist federal immigration officials. Now, the video was posted by conservative influencer Greg Price, who wrote, quote, Ilhan Omar is now hosting workshops for Somalis living in the country illegally to advise them on how to avoid being deported. And naturally, several ex-users backed Gill. For instance, one wrote, 100%, she's anti-American as they come. She pledged allegiance to the United States and has only ever acted against it. She's a fraud, liar, and traitor to this country. Another one wrote, isn't this against the law? Expel her. Another user offered, she's committing federal crimes by telling illegal immigrants how to avoid ICE. She deserves to be investigated and prosecuted. And then later, Gill wrote that we should have never let Ilhan Omar into our country, which is an excellent point. This shows you firsthand how we're not vetting people who come into this country. And of course, she resorted to criminal means by which to become legal. And now she's in Congress? What? Now, a spokesman for Gill told The Hill, Representative Omar's conduct raises questions about to whom she's most loyal, the American people or illegal aliens from Somalia. And Gill simply stated that it's disgraceful for a sitting congresswoman and U.S. citizen to facilitate the invasion of our country by illegal alien Somalis. Now, in the clip, Omar outlined what Somalis, who are undocumented or who their documentation may have lapsed, should do if they're questioned by U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement officers, you know, ICE officers. And it's really interesting here. She told a reporter, "You're not obligated to answer their questions. Just state that you're advised by a lawyer not to answer questions. Disclosure of your name, immigration status, and the mode of entry is not mandatory. Learn the laws and prepare yourself and refrain from disclosing information that you prefer them not to know." So Omar was asked about Gill's comments on Monday, where she told Zatio's Mehdi Hassan that these people are just idiots. Wow. I mean, this woman has nothing but contempt for America and Americans. Throw her out of office, throw her out of the country. So we go back to this reporter, this guy, Mehdi Hassan at Zatio. He says, he was talking to Ilhan Omar. He says, "You and I have discussed people attacking you in the past, but you have this new freshman congressional representative, this lawmaker, Brandon Gill, Republican, who tweeted out that video of you and wrote, 'America would be a better place if Ilhan Omar were deported back to Somalia.' I mean, I thought I'd seen everything, and I've seen a lot of attacks on you. But now you have a Republican colleague, dare I say, in the House saying to deport an American citizen, an American lawmaker, and an elected representative. How do you deal with that?" And she says, "These people are just idiots. I really am at the point where it's become really hard to have an intellectual debate with any of these people because the level of stupidity that they're displaying every single day is frankly embarrassing, not just in Congress, but as Americans. And the fact that these people are allowed to say just the most ridiculous things tells you that the dumbing of the United States has arrived, because how else do you get a Trump presidency again?" See, that's Omar. Ilhan Omar. That's who we're dealing with. That's the mentality of this individual. Let's not mince words. She is the enemy within. And all you have to use to indict her are her own words. The things she says, the things she does, her attacks on America, her attacks on our government, her attacks on people like you and me. This woman needs to be removed from office. She needs to be removed from the country. If you are a Gutfeld fan like I am, you know Kat Timpf. She's kind of like everybody's little sister. Yeah, she's 36. But the big news last summer was that she was pregnant. Well, she just had a baby boy, she and her husband. And right about the time she gave birth, she got news that she has breast cancer. I don't know. This is kind of stunning, but there's a very bright side to this. They caught this breast cancer so early, it's considered to be stage zero. Now, that was Tuesday when she announced that she and her husband welcomed their first child just hours after she learned about the breast cancer, and referred to it as an unconventional birth announcement. Okay, she said, "Last week, I welcomed my first child into the world. About 15 hours before I went into labor, I was diagnosed with breast cancer." And she advised her followers that her doctor said that her cancer is in stage zero. And she's confident that it almost certainly hasn't spread. Well, I'm certainly going to pray to that. Believe me. But the National Breast Cancer Foundation explains on their website that stage zero is the earliest stage of breast cancer and is highly treatable when detected early. Now, Kat wrote that finding out about her diagnosis, however, was not a chill day. She's so funny. She says, I woke up more than a week past due pregnant, completely consumed by doing everything I could to get the baby out. By the middle of the afternoon, I was waddling around from appointment to appointment talking about how to get my cancer out. And she said that it was during those appointments that she was told the best course of action would likely be a double mastectomy as soon as possible. Now, she credited hospital staff for being excellent audiences for dark humor. And she said that just minutes after my boy was born, I was talking with the nurses about what a birth announcement in my situation might look like. Yeah, I can imagine. And she said she's still getting used to her new reality as her next 3 months of maternity leave are set to be a lot different than I anticipated, which I'm sure. Because, you know, you want to feed that new baby naturally. Can't do it if you're being treated for cancer. She says, still, as I navigate new motherhood and new cancer, I'm learning to celebrate everything I can. I'm lucky that we found the cancer so early. I'm lucky to be my son's mom. I love that line. Lucky to be my son's mom. And she says, I mean, I know I'm biased, but the little dude absolutely rules. And not just because he might have saved my life. Think about that. I mean, if this hadn't been discovered as she was delivering her baby boy, my God. So, I don't know. She's got somebody up there who certainly loves her. And the new mom ended her post by thanking everyone for their support, writing, here's to resilience, to miracles in the midst of chaos, and to finding humor and hope even on the toughest days. So I don't know how long she's going to be gone from the Gutfeld program, but certainly looking forward to her return and the return of good health. Let's head on over to the comedy corner and a guy we haven't heard from in a while, Corey Michaels.
I love my students an appropriate amount. It's important. So. You ever met that teacher that's like, I love kids. All right, back off. Love my students. They have some weird names, which can be kind of awkward. Some weird names. The parents are giving out some weird names, which is fine. I think that's great. Give your kid a weird name. You just can't get mad at me if I can't pronounce or spell your weird name. That's all I think, right? A girl got mad at me recently because I misspelled her name on the board for everyone to see, which can be embarrassing. I understand that. But her name was Rose. I was like, oh, I don't think you can misspell that word, right? She goes, yeah, it's R-O-Z-E. Well, I'm pretty sure your parents were wrong, right? Looks like when they had you, they made two mistakes. Oh, you guys don't do standing ovations for jokes? Okay. Fine. Another kid, his name was spelled G-A-G-N-O-N, like Gagnon. Like, you all right, man? What are you gagging on? Everything good? This is kind of a weird name. Whatever. I call him that all year long until the end of the year. I heard his girlfriend. She goes, hey, Gagnon, come here. Because it was French. I was like, dude, I've been calling you Gagnon for 9 months. You didn't say anything. He goes, I just kind of thought you were being a jerk. I just thought your parents were weird. I don't know. Nobody cares about spelling anymore, right? Because we got spell check and we got autocorrect, and that takes care of most things, but not everything. Like, if you're like me and you get that red squiggly line under a word, and then it gives you 10 options to choose from, you're like, it's harder now. I didn't know the first time. I'm not going to know when you give me 10 multiple choice options to choose from, right? Just throw something in, Bill Gates. I don't know, you know? Like, I just got essays back from my students about their future plans, what they want to do after high school, and a bunch of them were like, I'm defiantly going to collage. You're going to angrily do arts and crafts for your Joanne Fabrics future? That's the big paper mache plan, Brad. I can tell there are people in the room right now that are like, I don't get it. I have no idea what he's talking about. No, you're not definitely going to college, right? Like maybe community collage, but not like, or like Utah State or something, but not a real. Oh, don't get upset with me. I just Googled worst college in Utah. It's not, I don't.
Get on out there and make it a terrific Thursday. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on tomorrow's Bombastic Blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?
See you tomorrow, G-Man.